Good morning. If you turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We began reading in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. And the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. Verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I would like to focus on this verse. In verse 11, it says, "This same Jesus." And the people have different idea regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Catholics have different idea regarding Jesus Christ. Mormons have different idea also. But the Bible plainly tells us who Jesus is and what he has done for us and what he wants us to do in our life. So my prayer is that this morning God would speak to our hearts and let us receive what the Word of God says regarding our lives and our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this morning, Lord God, that we could be in your house, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd just speak to the hearts of the people. There's someone here, Lord God, is not sure about their eternity. They don't know for sure that they're gonna that when they die, they'll be in heaven. I pray, Lord, speak to that heart, Lord God. And to us Christians, Lord God, help us, Lord, to know your will, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to obey your word today, Lord God. And may you be glorified, Lord. May you be exalted. I of nothing could do nothing, Lord God, except of you, Lord God. And we just ask, Lord God, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Guide my tongue, Lord God, and only those that would exalt you, that would glorify you, would come out from it, Lord God. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you bless, Lord God, this time. In Jesus' name, this I pray. Amen. So in our days where, mass media, like we have newspapers, we have internet, we have Facebook, Twitter, I don't know, maybe most of you have FB accounts, you know. And we find in these things that there are some fake news, right? And even in newspapers, we have fake news. So we need to know what we're reading, and we have to have a concrete knowledge of things so we could be sure that, hey, we are getting the right information. Fast checking is a must today because there are many fake news, as I said. But look at, if you would turn your Bible to Luke chapter 1, this is the exact thing that the writer of the book of Acts, who is Luke, try to address. Look at the verse, Luke chapter 1:1-4. This is Luke writing to Theophilus, and he said, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning were eyewitnesses." So it's just not something that, somebody says. These things that has been written here is from eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And then verse 3, look at it. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things." And this is very important. This word, from the very first, it comes from a Greek word, means anathem, which means that it comes from above. It's a revelation from God. So to write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. We need to be certain of what we believe. Amen? So personal knowledge is needed. If you want to be witness for Christ, you need to have a personal encounter for Christ with Christ. I believe that all the information we need is in the King James Bible, right? And if you've been here for a while, you know our pastor tried to help us with the Bible studies. Like we go through the book of Job. Oh, you're missing a lot if you haven't been there. On Wednesday night we study the book of Job. And on Sunday night, we study, we finished 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and now we're going to 1 Kings. And it's just a blessing to know the Word of God. And you're missing out, because even our pastor is trying to help us, he cannot help somebody that's not here. Right? So, we need to have more knowledge. We need to know who we are worshiping. Or we could just have, like the Catholics, have an idol. Like, I used to be a Catholic, and, you know, I used to carry those statues, and I'm so proud. I think I'm carrying Jesus. I'm helping Jesus. But that is not so according to the Bible. Right? So we have to have a good knowledge about God. In Gospels, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13-16, Jesus asked, am I speaking too fast? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me slow down a little bit. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 13-16, here the Lord is talking to his disciples. And Jesus said, asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." But look at this. The world has different ideas regarding the Lord, right? So, but he said unto them, "But whom you say that I am? You who profess to know me, you who are following me, who do you say that I am?" If somebody asks you in the street and ask you, "Who is your Jesus? What can you say about your Jesus?" You think you could witness for him? Well, that's good. But that is the goal of this preaching today, so that we could learn more. But look at what Simon Peter's declaration. He said, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So this is very important, because many have idea that some would say Jesus is just a man. But if a person doesn't agree that Jesus is God and man, then that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Because Jesus is 100% man, 100% God, and 100% man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So let me continue here. You see, we don't have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Right? Because if we have that, maybe most of us would stay home and say, "I just worship this picture." You know? But God has, in his wisdom, didn't give us a picture. We just rely on the Bible and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the revelation of our Father in heaven. That is how it works. But let's go back to our text in the book of Acts. And we'll see a couple of things here. And look at verse 3. It says, "To whom also he showed himself alive from after his passion by many infallible proofs." I want to focus a little bit about this passion. You see, God created man in his image. And everything was perfect. He said, "Oh, it's good. Yeah, everything is good." Until the fall of man. When man disobeyed God, then the man was cast out of the presence of God. And every man that was born hence hath a sin nature. Don't tell me that you were born in a Christian home and you're saved. That's not going to happen. Everyone will have to come to realize that I need a Savior. And God has provided that in Jesus Christ. The word passion really means just one thing, his suffering. Have you thought of that? Why Jesus has to come and suffer? You see, he was in the presence of God, in his Father. But why would he come here in this earth and be as a man and suffer? Because of the one whom you look at the mirror this morning. It's you and me. That is the reason why he came. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I hope you have everlasting life today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Let's walk on that day when he had this suffering. First, he was betrayed by a friend, by Judas. He was betrayed by a kiss. What one thing about a man is, you don't have much real friends. And if you have a friend and would betray you with a kiss, that would be so devastating. And then he was denied by his disciple Peter. And then there was a trial in the presence of the high priest. Let me read a little bit about that in Luke 22, verse 63 to 65, if you would go with me there. The Bible says, "And the man that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously speak they against him." That's just the start of his day. Then they brought him to Pilate. They accused him of, because he declared himself the Son of God. And Pilate scourged him. You see, Israel has a law that if you broke their law, you'd be whipped 39 times, 40 less one. And Paul had undergone that 5 times, he said. But Jesus was not scourged by the Jews. He was sent to the Romans. And these Romans are skilled in doing this. We must remember that the Roman soldiers are not the kindest people in the world. They were trained to be hardened soldiers. And the result is in Isaiah 52, verse 14, he says his visage was so marred, more than any man. You see, what happened is this. They brought him, scourged him. They have a whip that is like 3 inches long with battles and metals on the end. And they would whip him like strong. And that scourge, the flagellant would come and wrap the body of the Lord, and they would pull it, and the flesh would come out, and the worst of it, in some occasion, even the bowels would come out. That's how hard the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. And remember, the Jews had only 39 blows that they do. But with the Romans, there's no limit for them. Imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ had gone through towards that. And then after the scourging, they put on the robe on him and brought him to the praetorium. And then when they brought him there, they stripped that clothes. Imagine that if you have a wound and you put a dry cloth on it, and as it dries up and you pull the cloth, what do you think would happen? That is so much pain. But then they put a purple robe on him and put the plaited thorns on his head with 2 inches long thorns and put it right there. They didn't put it gently as a king. And then they give him a reed. And they mock him and they bow unto him and say, "Lo, oh, king of Israel," something like that. And then they took the reed and hit him on the head, pardoning the thorns again into all in his head, bringing more blood in him. And then afterwards, they took off the robe again and put the old, his clothes again. And then the crucifixion. After that he was so, he cannot even carry the cross because he is so weak. And then on the Mount of Golgotha, they spread his arms and put a nail on both his hands, 5 inches long. See, I want you to feel your wrist right here. There's this part here that is hollow, without bones. They didn't put the nail here. Feel it yourself. And imagine yourself having a nail on that. And then they put nails on his foot also. Goes through that and that one. And they have his knees folded a little bit like that. So when he's like this, he could go up and exhale. He has to force himself to go up like this and so he could exhale, or else he would die from suffocation. And during this time, he uttered the 7 last words. He struggled, but he said, "For Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a display of limitless compassion, of grace towards a sinful man, even in the midst of suffering. How about you? If somebody does that to you, what would you say? Say, "Oh, blessed are you. I don't think I could do that." But Jesus did. Amen? He's so good. Secondly, Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Wow, what a promise. What an assurance of salvation to someone who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you today, if you haven't done that, if you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'm sure when you die, you'll be in heaven with him. What a promise. Amen. Thirdly, he said, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. Even in this suffering, he took care of the things that he's going to leave in this earth. So, number four, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is during this time that he felt the feeling of being abandoned by God. When God placed all the sins of man in him. I would like to read Psalms 22. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, I am not silent. For thou art holy, O God. Oh, thou that inhabitest the face of Israel. Our fathers that trust thee. They trusted and thou delivered them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted thee in thee and were not confounded. But Jesus said, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despise of the people. And they that see me love me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake their head and said, he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like the water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. Assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I'm at the tower of my bones. They look and stare for me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And his fifth word, and the cross, he said, I thirst. All along, as he's saying this, he would struggle himself to go up, trying to breathe one more time. And he said, I thirst. This is to fulfill a prophecy. In Psalm 69:21 says, in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. But humanly speaking, I could say that he is looking for his friends. Where are the 5,000 whom he fed? Where are the 4,000 whom he fed? Where is the blind man who got his sight? Where are the disciples? Only John was left over there. There comes a time we just leave the Lord. And the Lord says, I thirst. I thirst. Number six, he says, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Hallelujah. Those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ would have that payment covered for his sins. And then lastly, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. After Jesus Christ offered himself freely to the Lord, to God, without spot for redemption of sinful man, he entrusted himself again to the Father. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now, second point. This same Jesus is alive. Let's go back to our text. Acts chapter 1. And verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive. Aren't you glad our Lord is alive? Amen. Amen. Luke 24 says, two angels said, "He is not here. He is risen." What a proclamation. And after that, he was seen of many. In Revelation 1:18, it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." Amen. I like the song, "Because He Lives." Amen. I want to read a little bit about it. It says, "God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive." It's better for me to read, because if I sing it, my... "So He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." Amen. I used to be somebody like, you know, lost, without hope, walking in the streets of Manila, homeless. Nothing in horizon to look for. My friends all said, "I have no hope." My family, I don't want to bother them anymore, because I've given so much heartache. But I was bound by the law, by Satan for 20 years with a lot of bad things. And one day, a preacher came to me and showed me how God loves me, that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die my sins. One day in a service like this, Sunday morning, I knelt and said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins." And from that day on, with His grace, I'm a new man. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth living just because He lives. Amen. Thirdly, He says, this Jesus gave commandments. Let's look at this. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me." So Jesus, the Lord, our Lord, after He died and He rose again, He was buried and rose again, He gave commandments. And one time in the book of Luke, He says, in Luke 6:46, He said, He was talking to these people and said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" It's just a question. But Luke 24:49 says, "And I, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You know that Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit? When a person got saved, automatically comes with it is the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the Spirit, Holy Spirit within us. So, we don't need more of the Holy Spirit, because what we need is here. The only reason is because maybe we're not doing it right. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. The Bible says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, that the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So you don't have to be surprised if you don't do the things that you would, because maybe you're not walking in the Spirit. Amen? It's just plain and simple. So what are the works of the flesh? Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." It just means that you cannot share the kingdom of God when you do these things. Because how could you be a witness to God, for God, if you are in your sins? personal experience. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, I don't want to go solo winning. I don't want to go to church. Maybe some of us come here because of obligations. Usually teenagers come to church because they have to. But if you're born again, you would love to be in church. If you are saved, you want to be to have fellowship with your fellow brethren. And if there's no joy in serving, if there's no joy in coming to church, you don't look for it, forward to it, there's something wrong. You got to ask the question, say, am I saved or not? Why is it bothering me? Or maybe there's sin. I don't know. Only God knows. The only thing you can do is say, Lord, if there's anything between you and me, reveal it to me so I may confess it. And if you're not saved, we could have an invitation later, and today may be the day of your salvation. Amen? The Bible says, no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. No flesh. Gotta walk with the Spirit of God. So, also, he said, going back to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his power. How would you react if Jesus would tell you this? Would tell you this? It's not for you to know. Right? But Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that they may do all the words of the law. And I was thinking when I was reading that, when I come across this kingdom, the Jewish people are looking for a kingdom, right? I remember James and John, when they went before the Lord Jesus Christ with their mom. He says, let's look at this. So I won't murder the word of God. Mark chapter 10. I just want to read a little bit about it. And verse 36. And says, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto me, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. I like what lesson is Sunday in this Sunday school. The Lord is my shepherd. And what struck me there is the Word of God says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness' sake. In the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Is that really for me? It's for him. You see, if you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing a lot. But I am doing a great job of that. Yeah. So, just trust God. And he would see you through. And then, he gave the commandment of the Great Commission. Co-mission. We must understand that we are co-laborers with God. And it such a great privilege if you're going to work with God. Right? What kind of Christianity is just like you come on Sunday morning? you're not bearing fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. So, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Great Commission says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So, God has Jesus Christ has the authority. And he said also that as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So if you go soul winning, you just don't go because you want to. God has sending you. And it's warming up. It's nice to go out. Yesterday we have a good soul winning time. And I would like to invite you all. Oh, it would be nice if everybody comes on Saturday, right? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord would be so happy, say, oh, there's revival in Bible Baptist Church. Yeah. But we need to go because we are commissioned. God wants to work with us. And you're missing out if you don't go. Say, go ye and teach. It says, witness. It is not in vain. I was happy the other day because somebody called me and said, remember the Wednesday night that you were preaching? He said, I went before the Lord and asked him to save me. I never knew about that. That was 4 years ago. And he just called me the other day. What a blessing that is. Last Sunday, there was a man, Chris, I don't know if he's here. A friend brought him here and had the privilege of asking him, where would you spend eternity? Would you think when you die, if you go to heaven? He said, I'm not sure. I said, if you have 5 minutes, I could tell you. I could show you. And that's how easy it is to witness to a person, to the lost. You just tell them that, hey, you could have salvation if you just put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also, in the Great Commission, says, baptize them. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death, and that as like was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That is the picture of baptism. If we follow the Lord's command in baptism, we are declaring to the nation and to the world that we say, I am following the Lord. Buried with him in baptism and walk in the newness of life. You are resurrected in Christ. And he said also, again, here is the word, teach. Disciple somebody. Make disciples of Christ. Remember when he was going about washing the feet of his disciples? This is the last commandment that he gave. Love one another. The picture of that washing of the feet of the disciples is to repress one another. It's repressing his disciples. And he said, happy are ye if you do these things. Maybe if you're not happy in your fellowship with your brethren, maybe you're not repressing him. One of the objects of coming to church is you repress one another. We repress one another. Encourage one another. Exhort to one another. Bring them along. Lord Jesus Christ says, happy if you do them. I got two more and then we go. This same Jesus was taken up. Going back to Acts chapter 1. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus was taken up. He was talking to some of the disciples one day, and he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? So after then the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So what is Jesus doing in the right hand of God? He is interceding for us. He is praying for us. And then they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That is what we read from Mark chapter 16. You see, the church did not just stay there, but they went to work. And you know what the result is? They turned the world upside down. Look at what, and verse 10, it says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?'" It's good to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. He said, we are commanded to wait for him. You just don't stare. And let me see when the Lord Jesus is coming back. You know, if that would happen, we'd not be here because the gospel was not preached. But they went. Look at this. "And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And they were come into day, in day, went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer." First, they prayed. And then, eventually, they went to preach the gospel. But, you see, we seen that Jesus was taken up. But the promise is, he will come again. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come again. Come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Amen. I like that. I like that. The Bible in this word, it says in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you." God is preparing a place for us. And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Hallelujah. "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Amen. What a promise. Then, the next event in the church is we're looking for the rapture. Right? Then the Christians will be taken up. But those who are not saved will be left here in tribulation. And you don't want that. Because the Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." It will be the worst time in the life of a person. So, you'd rather be saved now. Amen? And then, after that, the Christians would be in the presence of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So even if it's a question, of course we are saved. We're not going to hell, but we will be judged according to what we have done in the body. I don't know if God would give you a chair because you're just sitting on the pew. I don't read that there's a reward like that. He says God will give you crowns for your service, right? If you know, and that's another message. But God, what we would be before the judgment seat of Christ, and then afterwards there will be a white throne judgment, where the books will be opened. Another book would be opened, which is the book of life. And those that are not found in the book of life, you know what happened? All that you ever did in your life is recorded in a book. And that book, you will be judged according to what is written there, according to your works. If you're not saved, you'll be judged according to that. Because if you're saved, you are written already in the book of life. So, it's your decision today. Would you rather be with Jesus Or you want to go on the other side, which is, there is a worm that dieth not, and fire that is not quenched. I advise you strongly, go on the side with the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be in heaven. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this time, Lord God, that we could just expound your word. God, I leave it in your hands, Lord God, how you would deal with your people, Lord God. And just pray, Lord God, that if there's someone here that is not saved, that you would, Lord God, touch that heart. Help him, Lord God, to be tender. And Lord God, may this be the day of salvation, Lord God. Just pray, Lord God, that you'd, your perfect will would be done, Lord God. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask, how many could say today, I am 100% sure that when I die, I would be in heaven? If that's you, would you be able to raise your hand, please? Raise it high. Be proud of it. Amen. You could put your hands down. Maybe you have hesitation. Maybe you're not sure. I don't know, but we could have somebody show you in the Bible how you could know for sure that when you die, you'll be in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His claim is exclusive. Only through him you would have salvation. So, if you are not sure, would you come on this altar and we'll have somebody show you in the Bible how to be saved. Now, if you profess, you have raised your hand, you profess that you're a Christian, was there really a change in your life? Have you been born again? I'm saying you just don't have religion. I'm saying you have joy. Joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, maybe it's time to be saved. How about Christians? How is your witnessing for Christ? Are you obeying him? I pray, Lord, that you'd help your people just to get right with you today, Lord God. And Lord God, may your blessing be upon all of us, Lord God, for we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Very just.